Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Man Who Knew Lincoln, by Virginia Mather, is one in this series of Eternal Light dramas marking the observance of the Civil War centennial.
Go down, Moses, away down in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go.
January the 1st, 1863. The day began like any other. From the White House, I watched the usual wet snow turn into the usual rain. We heard the usual rumble of mule wagons carrying supplies to the army across the Potomac. And we saw the usual number of armless and legless men in blue among the crowds on Pennsylvania Avenue. Yes, on the outside, it was a day like any other dragging, war-weary day.
But over at the War Department telegraph office, it was different. We were waiting for something. At last, the door opened and he came in. He looked old and tired. Came in quietly as usual, a folded piece of foolscap in his hand. This was it. What we'd been waiting for. But no trumpet sounded, no guns fired. Instead, he warmed his hands at the coal fire, then turned to me at the telegraph key.
Any news for me this morning, young fella?
No, sir, not so far. No news is good news, I guess.
Well, not always. Fisherman doesn't call it good luck when he can't get a bite, now does he?
No, sir, I guess not.
I have these papers here. I want one of you boys to take it down for me and send it out over the wire. Will you oblige me, Mr. Rosewater?
Of course, sir, gladly.
For 6 months, would you believe it? I've been writing on this thing, and this is all I've come up with. 2 sheets of foolscap. But it's better to say too little than too much. I don't want to be like that long-winded politician back home. Folks always said the reason his speeches were so boring, but he got started talking, he was too lazy to stop. Anyway, here it is. 2 sheets of foolscap. They make a difference in a lot of people's lives. Yeah, we'll see. Are you ready, Mr. Rosewater?
I'm ready, Mr. Lincoln.
By the President of the United States, a proclamation. All persons held as slaves within any state or designated part of a state, the people whereof shall be in rebellion against the United States, shall be then thenceforward and forever free.
Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go.
January the 1st, 1863. A day like any other day, but with this difference. On that day, there went out to the land on wings of wire the news that a mortal blow had been struck against slavery in the United States.
Even as we listened to Mr. Lincoln speak the dry and bone-bare words, we knew that something old was dying. Something new was struggling to get born.
And upon this act, sincerely believed to be an act of justice warranted by the Constitution upon military necessity, I invoke the considerate judgment of mankind, the gracious favor of Almighty God.
I, Edward Rosewater, 22, an immigrant Jewish boy from Cleveland, Ohio, by way of Bukowan, Bohemia, was the telegrapher who telegraphed the Emancipation Proclamation to the world. Only in America, I think, could this have happened.
The Rosewaters arrived in Cleveland in the year 1854, the same year that Illinois sent me, Abe Lincoln, to the Congress for the first time. They had come to the New World to escape the sorrows of the old. But at first glance, they could see little difference. poverty was here to greet them like an old relation.
I cash clothes. I cash clothes. Any old clothes today?
Like my father, the father of Edward Rosewater had dreams of glory for his sons. But bread came first. There were 9 hungry children to be fed, so Edward, the oldest, was sent out into the hurly-burly with the peddler's pack.
Well, what do you want, boy?
Please, I have needles, thread, buttons, ribbon.
Don't need any. On your way. Wait. Have you got any bread? Braid?
Braid? No braid.
Well, go along then.
You want braid? I'll bring braid. I'll bring it tomorrow.
It's you again. Now, what do you want now?
I brought braid. You said braid.
Why, you little numbskull. You brought me a loaf of bread. I said braid, not bread. Don't you foreigners know nothing?
America was cruel. America had no heart. Why had we swapped Bukowan for Cleveland? Here I was, a drop in the bucket. A cipher, a nothing. No, wait. Perhaps I was wrong. Perhaps Cleveland did have a heart.
You are wrong, Edward. You haven't given America a chance. You're in such a hurry. How long have you been here? 2 years? 3?
4 this October 19th. And what have I accomplished, Leah?
Why ever so much? Look at you. You began as a peddler, and now you're full-fledged clerk in the biggest dry goods store in town.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I didn't come to America to
be
a clerk.
My father says you're the best clerk he ever had. Mm-hmm. Why, I heard him tell Mr. Loaf the other day that you're the only clerk he ever saw who could wrap a package without using any string.
Leah, I didn't come to America to wrap up calico.
My father's store carries silk goods, too, I'll have you know.
Well, now, look here. I'm not running down your father's store. It's a perfectly good store. It's just that I want...
What? What do you want, Edward?
What did I want? Who at 18 can say what he wants? I wanted the world with a fence around it.
But Edward Rosewater wanted something more, too. I knew, because I had felt the same mute longings as a backwoods boy in Illinois.
Why, it's as easy as falling off a log, Ed. Just a series of dots and dashes. That's all there is to it. Call it the Morse code.
Do you really think I'll be able to learn it?
Why, a guy with your brains, it's simple. Nothing to it. I'll give you my manual and some pointers, and you come down here to the depot every night and practice. Station master says it's okay.
Well, you're awful good to do this for me, Warren.
Why, forget it. I want to get you out from behind that counter. This is a land of opportunity. Telegraphy is a common profession. Lots of openings for operators these days. No telling, Ed, how far this will take you.
Now that I'm leaving Cleveland, Leah, will I hate to go. There's some mighty fine people here, like your father and Mr. Coleman and Warren. And... you know what I mean?
I think so, Ed.
I think I ought to tell you it's been a very enjoyable friendship. On my part, I mean.
On my part, too.
Well, I guess I better go.
Guess so. Ed? Remember, Cleveland will always be waiting for you.
You mean that?
Of course I mean it. I'm a very sincere kind of person.
Leah, look. This may come as a surprise to you, but I'd like to kiss you goodbye. That is, if you don't mind...
Why, Ed, I don't know what to answer. What would my father say here in broad daylight in front of everybody?
Well, I don't care what he'd say. I'm not kissing your father.
All aboard!
You better go now. You'll miss your train.
Goodbye, Leah.
Goodbye, Ed.
From Cleveland, I went to Oberlin, Ohio. And from Oberlin, I went south to Tennessee to take charge of a telegraph office there.
Dear Leah, something happened today. I've always believed that slavery was wrong, but it was a private kind of feeling. Today I saw a little colored girl being sold as a slave. It made me sick to my soul. Before I knew what I was doing,
What am I bid? What am I bid?
$100.
$100. $100. I have a bid of $100.
Stop it! Stop it! You can't do this!
Who's that?
Don't you see she's got the little girl?
What's the matter with that fella anyway?
Pete's got him.
Look at him! Look at him! You can't tell a little girl from money! Like you would a horse or a cow! Nobody's got the right to say what a human being is worth!
Rosewater,
can I talk to you for just a minute?
Oh, sure. Come on in, Bert. Anything you want to talk about particularly?
Well, I figured you'd know.
Mm-hmm. You mean what happened this afternoon?
Mm-hmm. Folks are sort of upset about what you did.
So help me, Bert. I had to. I couldn't stop myself. When I saw that little girl up there in that auction block,
yeah,
I know
how you feel. I didn't like it any more than you did, I reckon. But it's the way things are down here.
Then they ought to be changed.
A lot of things ought to be changed, Ed. Down here, we got slaves growing out cotton. Maybe that's wrong, but it's our business. Up north, you take our cotton and spin it into cloth. And I hear tell the folks that work in your factories ain't much better off than our slaves. Now, maybe that's wrong, too. But it's your business. I see what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you mean. But I don't agree with you. Right and wrong aren't a matter of geography. We're one country. What's your business is my business. What's mine is yours.
Ed, I told you I don't like it any more than you did. But it's the way things are down here. Now, if you don't like it...
Bert, there's a town down in Alabama that needs a telegraph operator. I think I'll take a look at things down there.
You're crazy. We won't go messing around down Alabama for.
Well, I don't like to quit under fire. Another thing, I just happen to like the South. Believe it or not, I like it. The year was 1860. In Alabama, seed time went and harvest came. And over the telegraph, I heard the words a man named Lincoln spoke to a man named Douglas.
When the white man governs himself, that is self-government. But when he governs himself and also governs another man, that is despotism. No man is good enough to govern another man without that other man's consent.
Rosewater, those are fighting words you just took down. Mind you, if this fella that calls himself Abe Lincoln is elected president...
And we sat in the telegraph office waiting for news of the election. We sat on a volcano.
Mind you, if this fella Lincoln is elected...
Outside on the station platform that night, a carload of slaves had been rolled onto a siding. Out there in the darkness, I could feel their presence.
You gotta go down that lonesome valley... You gotta go down there by yourself. Ain't nobody here can go there for you. You gotta go down that lonesome valley by yourself.
But you're pulling the shade down for Ed. It's hot.
It's them. I'm ashamed.
Oh, shucks, that ain't no way to talk. They're happy. They wouldn't always be singing if they weren't happy.
It's wrong. 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 Can't you see how wrong it is? You read the Bible. What about this? Woe to him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by injustice. Woe to him that useth his neighbor's service without wages and giveth him not his hire.
Well, stop ranting and raving, man. Get the telegraph.
Yeah.
What's it say?
God.
Ed, tell me.
He won. Lincoln won.
You're just saying that to aggravate
me. It's the truth, so help me.
Ed, this means war. Where are you going?
I'm going outside to tell them in the boxcar. Listen, all of you, Lincoln's won. Hooray for Lincoln. Hooray for Abe Lincoln and the Union.
Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go.
I told you Cleveland would be waiting for you, Ed.
Leah, it's so hard for me to tell you this. I'm not staying. Don't look like that.
You've been away 2 years. 2 whole years. I don't care how it sounds. I'm tired of being prim and proper. I'm tired of being a lady. And I'm tired of waiting. When you go this time, Ed, you've got to take me with you.
You've got to believe me. I want to take you more than anything. But I can't. I'm going into the Army.
The Army? But you wrote me from the South that telegraph operators are exempt.
I don't want to be exempt. I want to be in it. If a thing is wrong, you fight it. You don't stand in a corner with your face to the wall.
No one can tell you what a war is like. No one. But Ed Rosewater was soon to learn. The army of General Fremont, he crawled on hands and knees through the mud and blood, the West Virginia wilderness. Then came reassignment to the telegraph office in Washington.
Dear Leah, you know how disappointed I was to be removed from the field. But there may be compensation. They say the president spends more time here at the telegraph office than anywhere else. I may be lucky enough to meet him.
Any news for me this morning, young fella?
Nothing so far, sir. Oh, excuse me. I mean nothing so far, Mr. Lincoln. I mean Mr. President.
Never mind the titles. You're new, aren't you? Relax and tell me your name.
Rosewater, sir. Edward Rosewater.
I don't think I ever heard that name before.
Well, it's really Rosenwasser. My father Americanized it.
I see. Wasser, that's German for water, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
So you weren't born in this country, huh?
No, sir, in Bohemia, a place called Bukowan. You probably never heard of it.
Oh, don't apologize. Reminds me of Patty back in Springfield. He was trying to ingratiate himself with the know-nothing party out there. Faith, he said, I would have been born in America if I could. I wanted to, but my mother wouldn't let me.
He would come over from the White House wearing his carpet slippers and an old shawl thrown around his shoulders. Often as not, he would give us his messages directly without bothering to write them out.
General McClellan, hold on with a bulldog grip and chew and choke as much as possible. Hey, Lincoln. To General Pope, Bull Run, which side of the creek are you on? Hey, Lincoln. You know, young fella, that telegram I just sent reminds me of the old woman whose pig got loose and ran toward the creek. She and her husband lit out after him. Do you see him, husband? Which side of the creek is he on? I don't know, wife, but I think he's on both sides.
One day, early that summer of 1862, he asked for a pencil and some sheets of foolscap.
I've got some ideas I want to try out on paper. I don't know if they'll amount to anything much. Maybe like shooting at the moon with a slingshot, but we'll see.
Every day he would sit for an hour or more, his forehead wrinkled in concentration. And every night, what he'd written was locked in the old iron safe in the corner of a telegraph office. Eventually, we began to suspect the subject of his endeavors.
What do you think about slavery, son?
I'm against it, sir.
So am I. But you wouldn't know it to read the newspapers. The abolitionists say I betrayed them. They want a proclamation of emancipation right away. Wherever I go, there are Mr. Sumner, Mr. Stevens, and Mr. Wilson to haunt me. They're my Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I won't let them push me into anything premature. This subject is on my mind day and night more than any other. But emancipation without a military victory to back it up would be a meaningless act. All through that desperate summer, they had locked away in the safe in the telegraph office those two pieces of foolscap that the whole world was waiting for. Our losses continued to be heavy. There was a second Bull Run. Fredericksburg.
13,000. That's what it says, sir. 13,000.
Do you know what that means? 13,000 men killed. This war, this awful, awful war. what have you got for me this morning?
We were just sending a messenger to the White House, sir. It's good news.
Let's see it.
Here, sir.
Thank God. McClellan stopped Lee at Antietam. I think I'll just take a look at these papers I've got stashed away in the safe. Maybe that now's the time is ripe. Up to now, our army's in retreat everywhere. It might have been nothing but a big noise. Did you boys ever hear about the two hunters lost in the woods at night? They kept hearing strange noise. They didn't know what it was. They kept hearing it. They kept beating the bushes, but they couldn't find anything. Let's go on, one of them said. Whatever it is, it's nothing but a big noise. Or whatever else I am, the Lord let me be remembered as something more than a noise.
The day began like any other dragging, war-weary day. But we in the telegraph office were waiting for something. At last, he came in, a gaunt and stooping man, a folded piece of paper in his hand. This was it.
Are you ready, Mr. Rosewater?
I'm ready, Mr. Lincoln.
By the President of the United States, the proclamation. All persons held as slaves in any state or designated part of
many things happened to a man in the course of his lifetime. I, Edward Rosewater, was to go back to Cleveland to marry Leah Coleman. Later, I would go west to Omaha and found a newspaper. I would serve in the legislature of that state for many years, fighting always as best I could for the rights of minority groups in America. I was to introduce bills providing institutions for the deaf and dumb and blind in Nebraska. And in the city of Omaha, I would help to found and build the first Jewish hospital in the state. Yes, many things happened to a man in the course of his lifetime. But of all the days of my life, this day stands out above the others. Something old began to die that day. Something new began struggling to be born. It is still a borning.
And upon this act, sincerely believed to be an act of justice warranted by the Constitution upon military necessity, I invoke the considerate judgment of mankind, the gracious favor of Almighty God.
Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Dr. Isidore Meyer, librarian and editor of the American Jewish Historical Society and coordinator of the Civil War Centennial Jewish History Commission. Dr. Meyer.
The Emancipation Proclamation that was promulgated on January 1st, 1863, declared that all persons held as slaves within any state or designated part of a state, the people whereof shall be in rebellion against the United States, henceforward shall be free. It pledged that the American government would recognize and maintain the freedom of said persons. Thus, in the midst of the fratricidal fury that characterized the bitter war between the states, the principles of union and liberty and their inseparability were once more reaffirmed. In the words of Professor Alan Nevins in his discussion of the statesmanship of the war, the American Civil War was a struggle for the future of humanity. When Edward Rosewater telegraphed President Abraham Lincoln's message that such slaves shall be then, thenceforward, and forever free, it was in essence a reiteration of Lincoln's earlier definition of democracy, which he had made a few years before the outbreak of hostilities, when he asserted, "As I would not be a slave, so I would not be a master." This expresses my idea of democracy. Whatever differs from this, to the extent of the difference, is no democracy. Throughout history, a philosopher has put it, liberty cannot exist differently from the way it has lived and always will live, a perilous and fighting life. Out of the bloody clash of brothers, a basic lesson emerged, which gave meaning and significance to the struggle. the preservation of the Union and of American democracy must rest on the foundations of human freedom and the dignity of man. If the history of the past is but a prologue to our future, if we are to remember the days of old and consider the former generations as we commemorate the Civil War centennial, let us be mindful of the lessons of that war, that we too, figuratively, went forth out of Egypt land, that we too were redeemed. For human freedom and the dignity of man, the foundation stones of American democracy, were prepared for us through the sacrifices of our forebears. Mindful of all the blessings of that liberty, let us rededicate ourselves to its principles, and with the help of the Almighty, transmit this noble heritage, enhanced by our own efforts, to our posterity.
Thank you, Dr. Meyer. Our Eternal Light drama today, The Man Who Knew Lincoln, written by Virginia Mazur, was one in this series of Eternal Light dramas marking the observance of the Civil War centennial. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Beatrice Pons, Paulette Fine, Eugene Francis, Maurice Tarplin, Gilbert Mack, and Martin Rudy. Larry Robinson was Rosewater, and Jim Bowles played President Lincoln. Music by Tom Glazer. This is Vic Robey. Our program was directed by Daniel Sutter. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.